Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Practical Christianity is more challenging than many people realize. And we come in Romans chapter 12, verse 14, to how Christians are to relate to those who oppose us, those who harm us, those who are our enemies. And here's what we read in Romans 12, 14. Bless those who persecute you, bless, and do not curse. However, this is nothing new, as written by the Apostle Paul, because he simply reiterating what has been taught by Christ himself. For Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:44, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." So Paul is just simply condensing and restating what Christ himself has already taught us. And we see some of the early Christians setting a wonderful and remarkable example of this very kind of conduct. As for example, Stephen, when he was being stoned. We read in Acts 7:60, "Then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Of course, in that he was simply following the example that Christ himself had set. For Jesus on the cross said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so our Lord exemplified what he taught. Others have modeled what Christ taught. And we need to ask God to give us grace to do the same. For this is not easy. How do you respond to those who are doing you wrong? Well, I know how I want to respond, and I know how I often do respond, contrary to what is taught by Christ and the Scriptures. But I also know how I want to respond as the Spirit within me gives me the desire to obey the Lord and to please Him. I know how I ought to respond, and I know how I want to respond in the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And I want to do exactly what Paul tells us in Romans 12:14, when he says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." Blessing and cursing, of course, are the opposite. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. To curse is not merely to insult, but to call down God's wrath, to desire divine vengeance. Ultimate vengeance, which is damnation. And you often hear people saying things like that. Damn you, damn, or even the milder abbreviation, darn, which is actually saying, and sometimes people put it this way, this crassly, this bluntly, go to hell, or to hell with you, or the shortened form, just hell. What are you doing? What I'm saying these things, I know that'll be offensive to some people, but I'm saying these things to make you think about what it is that you are doing. These are not just strong expletives. This is what it means to curse somebody else, to call down God's wrath upon them. That's what it is. You are wishing divine judgment, divine vengeance, divine damnation. That's what it means to curse somebody. To bless somebody, of course, is the opposite, to call down God's blessing upon them. Now, when we call God's curse down upon others, though we're not always conscious, I'm afraid, that that is what we're doing, when we use some of these expletives, we sometimes forget the full import of what we're doing. It becomes so common, and sometimes I guess we think it's just us who are doing it. But we don't have the power to damn anybody, to send anybody to hell. So when we use this kind of language, we are calling upon God to do it. Men can't do that. And that's impossible. So whether we are consciously or unconsciously doing so, we are calling down divine vengeance upon them. And when we do that, we manifest that we have forgotten God's undeserved mercy to us, assuming that I'm talking to Christians now. If we got what we deserved, this is what would happen to us. God would damn us. God would send us to hell. That's what we deserve. It's not very common to hear anybody say that this is what we deserve. Not common to hear even preachers say that, or Bible teachers to say that. We live in an age where straight truth, straight talk from the Word of God is not very prevalent, unfortunately. But this is the truth, and we need to understand it. If we got what we deserve, we would receive eternal retribution. We would receive divine damnation. Is that not what the Bible teaches? That this is what every sinner deserves? If I am a sinner, this is what I deserve. The wages of sin is death. And we're not just talking about physical death. The wages of sin is death, eternal damnation, eternal separation from God. That's what my sin has earned. That's what I deserve. And that's what it means to take the sinner's place. Sometimes you'll hear that phrase. It's a good phrase. Though again, it's one of those phrases that sometimes we hear and it slides right by us without our considering the full impact of what it means. But to take the sinner's place is to put myself in the place of a sinner and to acknowledge that I deserve God's condemnation. I deserve that. If you can't say that, if you can't feel that, if there's something within you that protests against that, then I suppose there's something within all of us that protests against that, but if you can't overcome that initial protest, no, I don't deserve that. That's not what I deserve. I'm not that kind of a person. If you can't overcome that initial protest and realize by the work of the Spirit of God in your heart, convicting you, showing you that you are indeed a sinner deserving of eternal damnation, if you can't bring yourself to that place, or if you have not been brought to that place, is a better way to put it, then it is very doubtful that you have ever truly been regenerated by the Spirit of God. I say that very advisedly. But if that truth has not been impressed upon your soul, then it is doubtful that you have ever been brought to the place to acknowledge your true spiritual condition before a holy God. And if not, then how can you be a Christian if you have not come to recognize and acknowledge your true spiritual condition before God? But assuming that you are a true child of God and you have come to acknowledge that you deserve God's eternal damnation and you have received instead God's grace, God has shown you mercy for Christ's sake. God is not giving you what you deserve. In grace, He is giving you exactly what you do not deserve. He is giving you eternal life, having placed your guilt and the punishment for your guilt upon Jesus Christ, your substitute. And if that in fact is your condition, then how can you, how can we, who have received such grace from God, how can we fail to extend similar grace to others? But you say they don't deserve it. Of course not, any more than you did. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. What do they deserve? They deserve cursing. They deserve damnation. They deserve judgment. They deserve God's vengeance. Just like I deserve that. Just like you deserve that. Having been spared that by the grace of God, we who have received such great grace of all people ought to be able to desire and to declare such grace upon others. We ought to be able to bless and curse not, for cursing has no place in the Christian's vocabulary. Oh, how we need to guard our tongue. I know Christians, or people who profess to be Christians, who swear like a drunken sailor. Oh, not when they're in church, of course. Oh, they can go to church and talk like a saint and sing like a child of God. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because He first loved me. But on Monday morning, when they get mad at their employees or fellow co-workers or their boss or who knows what else, or at home, when they're with their wife and children, they can curse and swear like an unconverted man. They can curse and swear like the most vile of unconverted people. Something wrong there. Something terribly wrong there. But what Christ calls upon us to do to our enemies, those who do us wrong, those who have ill will toward us, those who persecute us, those who are malicious toward us, those who harm us, oh, may God help us to be Christ-like in this. We are to wish them well, not ill. We are to wish them health, not harm. And it's not simply enough to refrain from vindictiveness. Presumably, by the grace of God, Christians will be able to control themselves and not actually do anything to bring harm to others. But it may be that on the one hand, we will not actually do anything, but on the other hand, that we will desire that harm shall befall them. But no, that's wrong. That's wrong. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. We are not only to refrain from vindictiveness, but we are to desire their happiness. And that, dear friends, I do not need to tell you, is most difficult, but that, dear friends, is distinctively Christian. And thus, we are to not only please God by refraining from drunkenness and immorality and lying and stealing, but we are to please God by refraining from cursing those who harm us and actually calling down God's blessing upon them in the place of the judgment which they deserve. That takes the grace of God. That takes a changed heart. That takes a Christ-like spirit. May God help us to do so. If we are His children, He will so help us. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.